I call this meeting of the Washington City Council to order. Please join us in saying the Pledge of Allegiance, removing hats and silencing phones.
I pledge allegiance
to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. And we have an agenda here. Did we approve the agenda before the roll?
No, you had to take roll call, then approve.
Roll first, okay. Well, I don't know why I couldn't remember that. And will you please call the roll, Sally? Thank you.
Ernest?
Here.
Lindstein?
Here.
Moore?
Here.
Rangel? Stigers?
Here.
Youngquist?
Here. And okay, and we have the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections, or can we
make a motion to approve the agenda for the regular meeting?
Okay, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, we have some 12 items on the consent agenda. Does anyone have any questions about any of these?
Make a motion we accept the 1 through 12 on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you, Bethany. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. All right. Moving right on to special presentation. We have Hannah and, yes, okay, here for to give the nuisance report. Welcome.
Hi. As mentioned, I'm Anna, the new code enforcement officer, and I will let you know, you've all got the copy of the previous case report from the 1st through the 28th. Since you guys received that, we've updated, so there are now 45 that are closed cases and only 25 that are open. And our most significant issues have been grass and weeds, although it's been mostly weeds. And you have a pending abatement coming as of tomorrow. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Anyone have any questions?
No, thank you very much. Very good. Very, very good.
Thanks, Anna. Thanks for coming. Thank you for coming. All right. And we have several mayoral appointments listed here. Charla Howard to the Hotel Motel Tax Fund Committee. Charles Halverson, Forestry Commission, and Gary Murphy to the Library Board.
I make a motion to accept these mayoral appointments.
Thank you, Elaine.
Second.
Thank you, Fran. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. All right. Thank you very much. Now moving on to special event requests. I see we have someone here from the high school, and we had papers in our packet about the parade routes. Do you want to come? If you want to come to the mic and say anything, we'd be happy to hear you.
My name is Nathan Miller. I'm the new activities director for Washington Community School District. I have included some events that we have had in the past where we have needed some routes on some public roads in town here, and so those are listed. There is one change that I had put down the wrong street for the marching band. They will be leaving Lincoln on South 6th, not South 4th. It's a less traveled road. Mm-hmm. And so if you need updated maps, I can do that as well and those. But otherwise, all the dates are listed there. We have our homecoming on September 29th. And we will start that parade at 2, usually done around 3:30, and is the same route that we have done for followed for many years.
Mm-hmm.
So over to Sittler Drive to South Iowa and then up and around the square and then back. Marching band again from Lincoln, South 6th over to Keysfield and East Van Buren. And then Heroes Night will be September 15th, and we'll leave from the high school west parking lot at 4:30.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions?
Looks like a good plan to me. I'm making my family accept these.
All right, just about to second it.
Second.
All right, thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Due to conflict.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Yeah. Have a good start to school.
Thank you.
All right. Oops, I lost my pen.
Moving on, we have Hospice of Washington County. And I think Tiffany is online. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, I'm Tiffany. I'm with Hospice of Washington County. I'm the event coordinator for our fundraisers. So the event plan is the same as last year. We raise money throughout the year so we can continue to be nonprofit. And these are one of our events. And we plan to have about 100 people this year, we hope.
Okay. Any questions from anybody?
Looks like a good plan as well. I make motion we accept.
Okay, motion by Elaine.
Second.
Second by Isla. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, you've got an event, Tiffany. Thank you for joining us by Zoom.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Okay. And moving on to claims.
Presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped over that. Thank you very much. And I do see there's several people that have signed up for presentation to the public. We give everyone 3 minutes to speak. If you're speaking about an issue on the agenda, you can wait around until that time if you wish to, or you can just come to the podium right now and talk. Terry Phillips is the first on the list.
I would prefer to wait until you discuss the order.
Okay. All right. And is it Kaylin? Kaylin?
Yeah.
He's on my list. How about that?
Yeah, anyway. Hi,
hello.
I'm Lynn McCain. As I'm pretty sure you all know, I live at 222 and a half South Marion Avenue in apartment 8. I am also a reporter for the Washington Evening Journal. Again, as I'm pretty sure you all know, I'm up here to talk about the proposed vehicle public record requests because I made a lot of those. Perhaps the plurality of those, perhaps most of those. I'm not up here to ask y'all to vote one way or the other. I don't think it would be appropriate for me to do that, but I do have some concerns that I would like to see addressed when the council does discuss this item on the agenda. I'm just gonna make my way down the list. The first is that state code chapter 22.3 section 2, I wrote it down so I would remember. Requires that the cost to obtain a public record must not exceed the actual cost of providing the service. I'm a little bit curious to see whether an itemized breakdown of the fee structure that's proposed meets that requirement, i.e., does it cost 50 cents to print a page? Does it cost 50 cents to email a page? Does answering a request for a public record inherently cost a minimum $5 worth of staff time and resources? Does the fee go down if the records custodian makes less than $25? It does the fee go up if they make more? All sorts of those fun little details. I do want to say for the record that Washington is like among the best when it comes to like timely responses to public record requests. And I really appreciate that from y'all who answer my many public record requests. That effort is not lost on me and it makes my life easier and it makes my mood a lot better whenever it comes up. But I will admit that I maybe should have asked these questions when it was brought up for police policy back in May. But for what it's worth, the police post most of the public records that I need on Facebook, such that it really never occurred to me that this could be a problem for their department. And I don't know that it would be appropriate or even feasible to post the record that I'm asking for from City Hall on Facebook. That's really most of what I have for y'all, but thank you for your time and your attention and your consideration. Thanks.
Right. Thank you, Kayla. Connie Larson. Hi, Connie.
Hi, I'm here for Connie Larson. I'm Secretary of WEDGE, and I'm here on Mary's behalf. We just wanted to thank all of you so much for your partnership with the WEDGE board on the White Cell Brava, on the lots. I think we just pulled lot 9 at the industrial park. And we're continuing with your help. We are continuing with housing and childcare because we all know that's a concern here in Washington and Community County. So we just wanted to stop by and say thank you. We appreciate your partnership.
Okay. Thank you, Connie. All right, that does it for this list. So let's move on to claims.
Do we ask if anyone else?
Oh, yes. Does anyone else have any to speak to council, address this right now? I'm sorry. You guys keep me on track. No, not right now. Okay. Moving on to claims. Anybody have any questions about claims? You might have received a few.
I received three questions regarding claims. The three people asked about the police claim for $7,000 for sector for the annual contract. That's the annual software for the in-car video systems and the body cameras, and then also for the cloud storage.
Okay.
Another question was the PIN locator for development services. We've always had two. One died, and so for like 8 months, Jeff and Keith were sharing one that just does not work because whenever the one needed it, the other one had it. So we ended up purchasing a second one. And then the school district, that was for the sidewalk trip hazard replacement reimbursement by Stewart School by North Park.
Okay. Any other questions?
Make a motion to approve these claims.
All right, thanks, Fran. Thank you. Elaine? let's see. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed, same sign. All right, thank you. Moving on now to new business. The first is a public hearing on the progress, scope, budget, and status of the city's water main improvements. And this is something that I have to read to you, so bear with me. So I hereby call this public hearing to order. Okay. A, funding of project activities and sources of funds. This project is funded in part by a community development block grant. The city was awarded a 2021 CDBG for $600,000. To date, $99,111 of the CDBG allocation has been expended. There is a total obligation of $774,618 committed toward project costs. To date, $399,228 has been expended. Explain how the need for the activities was identified. The need for the project is due to a need to provide residents in the target neighborhood with high quality water for normal residential use. Nature of and status of activities. The nature of the project involves the construction of approximately 3,490 linear feet of 8-inch water main, water service pipe, hydrants, valves, and related street patching. Cornerstone Excavating Incorporated is the contractor for the work on the project. Work on the project is approximately 16% complete. There has been no change to the project beneficiaries as proposed in the request submitted to the state for funding. Announce the estimated portion of funds that will benefit low and moderate income persons. The project will result in a target neighborhood benefit and based on results from a survey conducted by the city in June 2021, 72.18% of the residents living in the target neighborhood who will be impacted by the project are of low and moderate income. Announce where the activities are being conducted. The project activities are taking place on East Main Street between South 12th Avenue and South 15th Avenue. Additional work will take place on West Madison Street between South Avenue H and South Avenue C, all in the city of Washington. Announce plans to minimize displacements of persons and businesses resulting of funding activities. The project will not result in the displacement or relocation of any persons or businesses. Announce plans to assist persons actually displaced. Since this project will not result in the displacement or relocation of any persons or businesses, there are no plans being made to assist displaced persons. All right, so that is the public information about this. So I would, and does anyone have any questions or comments?
I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
Thank you. Yeah, close public hearing. Thank you, Elaine. Do I have a second?
Second.
I'll take Beth into this then. Okay. And Sally, would you call that roll?
Ernest?
Yes.
Lensman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Ringel? Stigers?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay. All right. Number two on the agenda is a resolution authorizing levy assessment and collections costs to the county treasurer for a couple of parcel properties.
Do we need to close the public hearing first?
We did.
And it's right that we're voting on the movement.
No.
Yeah, we're voting.
My bad.
Yep, okay, that's closed. Okay. That's all right.
So I'll make a motion to authorize the levy assessments.
Okay.
Second.
And thank you. And yes, that needs a roll call vote.
Lensman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Steiger?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay, moving on to number three. This is a resolution approving expenditure of some hotel motel funds for signage, wayfinding signage, and welcome signs in Washington. Sally wrote a great memo about this. The need for wayfinding signage was identified for a goal for the Hotel Motel Committee back in 2019, and it was one of the major things on our Great Place application that we wanted to achieve. So does anybody have any questions?
One question.
Sure.
First of all, I think this is really exciting, will be great. So thanks to everyone who's been involved. One question about the directional signs.
Mm-hmm.
If something moves, can we change the arrow with a sticker, or will we need a whole new sign? I don't think most of these will move, but the one that caught my eye was the Welcome Center, which we just talked about potentially relocating as part of the Great Places Committee.
That I have no idea.
Okay, I can ask. Okay.
And since those will be done by the state prison industries, maybe.
Just something to think about.
Yeah.
And those things will not hopefully move, they are fixed, but the Welcome Center, I think, was on the list of things we were hoping to feature in that.
Okay. Okay.
And that might be something we want to evaluate before we order the signs, if this proceeds, and we can be strategic about which ones the Welcome Center is listed on, so that it's a general area and not as specific as we initially proposed.
I think everything else was pretty, geographically fixed in place and one.
Yeah.
Well, high school, middle school, maybe even, I don't know, but just something to think about.
Yeah, that's true. And the $32,000 is the maximum amount. Hopefully we'll do several grant applications, and we may, it'll be less than that, hopefully.
Okay. The $32,000 is just a match. The total project cost is almost $55,000.
Yeah.
And the posts are more expensive than when I initially went to host the hotel.
Yeah. Okay.
Just for note, $52,000.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
I'll make the motion that we approve the resolution approving these hotel back funds for the signs.
All right. Thank you. Bethany, do I have a second?
One second.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine. So this is a resolution. So let's call the roll, Sally.
Moore?
Yes.
Steigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Lensman?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. All right. Now we're on the a resolution adopting a fee for fulfilling public records requests. Okay. How best to handle this? Should we, Kevin, do you have information?
Yep. So I was gone late last week and yesterday. So I looked at this today, and what I had come up with is I did some changing on here. I looked at the statute every year. The legislature plays around with the statute. So a couple of things here. I did some tweaks to this. So I'll briefly go through them. I put 25 cents per page for black and white, 50 cents per page for color copies. If you remember, most copying, when you have contracts, they charge you per page, depending on what your what you're copying. So there is a fee associated with that plus the paper. So instead of having 50 cents across the board, it's going to be 25 cents for black and white and 50 cents for color copies. The second part of that is the what I call the gathering fee. So basically, the legislature did change the statute again so that you can charge for employees' time to gather the records up, but you can only charge for their actual salary. You can't charge for any fringe benefits that we're doing here. So the second paragraph, the whereas paragraph under gathering fee makes clear that we're only charging the per hour fee. And I think most of those are adopted by resolution once a year. So everybody, it's pretty clear what your salary part of your, so we use that amount. And if anything under 30 minutes, anything under 30 minutes for gathering, there's not going to be any charge for that because Iowa Public Information Board, I think that's pretty much the standard that everybody goes by, and the Iowa Public Information Board uses that standard also. So unless the time is over 30 minutes, there won't be any charge for that. You still will charge for, copies. And then third one is legal review. Sometimes you have to, and this is especially true with police records, you have to go through records and review them to make sure that any confidential information is redacted from the records, because you're under certain, there are all sorts of federal laws about what can and cannot be disseminated. And a lot of the police reports add information has to be redacted before it can be disseminated. So that's sort of why police records sometimes cost more, because 99 times out of 100, I will end up looking at some of that stuff and blacking it out, and it takes time to do that So, and then the last, so those fees would apply. So only the legal fees that would be charged the city would be added onto the records request. And it's only for looking to make sure confidential information is not provided and part of the public records request. Confidential information is listed in 22.7 of the carry. And finally, there's a lot of other miscellaneous things. This you make copies of audio and video recordings. Sometimes you have to go back, use your IT professional to go back in your server to find stuff. Anything like that, that's just going to be charged. Whatever the city gets charged, that will be added to the charge for the public records request. 99 times out of 100, nobody wants to pay for that. And if we do that, I usually suggest that we tell people, the requester up front, that this is what the fee is before they do it. So, and something like that would be expensive, we would request that. And we are allowed under the code to ask for payment before the records be disseminated. So this new resolution that you have in front of you includes all those things that I talked about and sort of addresses some stuff that Kaylin brought up in the public comment period. And it also made sure that we followed the statutory provisions in 22.3.
Mm-hmm. Do we happen to have any extra copies of this that we could give those in the audience? There's one here. There's a couple. If you want it, yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else?
We won't charge for this.
Not a lot of people are screaming to go into this podium and grab it.
Yeah, no.
I have extra pieces I have down here, so. That's what I had done. Like I said, police records are a lot different because a lot of stuff the police have are it takes time to go through and do transferring body camera to a media that can be sent out. So that's why police records are usually more expensive than regular records that you get from City Hall.
And anything that would be emailed.
No, we're not going to charge anybody for email. We pull a record out, scan it, and send it. We're not charging. That's not counted as a copy. We're not going to. Okay. Anything I can email will be free.
Okay.
Which we do that a lot.
We're not trying to make money here, trust me.
Trying to cover our costs.
Yeah, we're trying to cover our costs. And, there have been some instances. I think this, the last part of the law was there's a request for a school district in Cedar Rapids area that I think was 120,000 or Linmar or somebody had. Oh. But they wanted a lot of records. But so, sometimes you get outrageous.
Yeah.
Amounts and then yeah, but I'll tell you, if you go back through the server and you want stuff from way back, it costs you $100 an hour just to do a search, and it can cost upwards of $1,000 per computer to do a search on here for stuff that's normally deleted. Like after 6 months, stuff gets deleted off your email and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think that's where we came. It is that's where I came up with these requests here. I think 25 cents per page is pretty, I think it's pretty standard for a lot of cities out there. So I think that's where I got that. And obviously color copies, the copy machine service will charge you a lot more to have color copies on your contract. So there is expense there. Every time you make a copy, there is an actual expense, the paper and the fee from the provider of the copy machine. Mm-hmm. So, and he's right. It's supposed to be the actual expense. That's what I tried to do here.
Okay.
So like I said, and then one more thing. So depending on who's doing the looking, we will look at the resolution that says, okay, Joe employee makes $27 an hour. That'd be $27 an hour. If another employee makes $67 an hour and they have to look, it's going to cost that. So but that's the actual cost and without fringe benefits, because fringe benefits on a government employee can actually double your hourly rate by the time you have IFRS and insurance and all that stuff. Okay. And so that's how I got to those records, and the revised resolution is in front of you.
Okay.
If anybody has any questions, then Dean, I'm sure can answer. Sorry.
That's okay. And just so you know, we did check out on ClerkNet. I had Sally check on ClerkNet, and a couple cities, two cities, Algona and Independence, they both do the hourly wage of the staff collecting and putting the information together. And then Independence also charges the 25 cents for a black and white copy and the 50 cents for a color copy. So, I mean, what we're charging is right in line with other cities.
Okay. What? Anybody else have any comments? Comments from anyone in the that would like to speak to this issue? Sure. Matt?
Matt Bryan, on the culture of Southeast Avenue. We kind of got this started. Sorry.
No problem.
So, is that retroactive then back to the police also? This resolution, does that cover that also?
This would be, I think we should, since we passed the other by resolution, if we're going to change that, we would go back and do that with the police department also.
Okay.
Since we did that, this is just for the rest of the subject. So if we're going to do that, we will go back and pass a separate resolution for that.
Okay.
Okay.
And then it was cheap. I thought yesterday, so I had there's a $5 flat fee.
That's enough.
All right. Thank you very much for considering.
Yep.
Okay.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead, Kaylin.
Okay. As I always do. If there are multiple staff involved, is it like, the highest staff members hourly paid?
No. You can have a higher one. We're not going to charge you the highest one or average, and it would be the actual of any staff involved. So that is the actual cost and not the, you don't get penalized. And I'm guessing Deanne or the chief probably don't want to do this anyway. So they're probably not the one to do it.
All right.
I'm guessing.
Okay. Good questions. Thank you for your comments. What about council? What are your thoughts?
I think it did make a lot of sense and more reasonable. And it sounds like they align with the code better as well. But was the original price structure is what we have in place for the police public records, right?
That means I took it right off.
I think we need to revisit that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we should.
Well, yeah, I think I'll talk to the chief and we'll just go back to that resolution. And, like I said, a lot of times legal. Most of the time I review any little where their stuff. So I think we'll bring that back at a future meeting then.
But the structure of this, right, at a future meeting, but the structure of this new resolution sounds like it would still accommodate those increased level of effort.
Yes, and obviously they have their own salaries for their people too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
On the recommendation of our city attorney, I make a motion that we accept this resolution.
Okay.
Second.
Got a motion, got a second. And it's a resolution. So once again, we're voting on this new resolution. So Sally, would you call the roll?
Steigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Linsman?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay. Thank you everyone for your input and all. Next is a discussion and consideration of a resolution awarding preliminary engineering contract for the second phase of the Wellness Park and opinion of cost. So you have a lot of information here from Vince Venstra and Kim Venstra is next. And lots of diagrams and who did the did they do the first phase of the wellness park?
No.
I'm gonna say. Yeah.
Okay.
There was some
We had some.
I remember we had some issues down the road. So
we parted ways with them in the middle of the
project. Before the contract was final or final. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Yeah. We're not going with that.
They burned.
No, Fox.
Jack.
Jack from Garden. Garden. So yeah. Yeah, we did terminate in the middle of it. Yeah.
Okay. Does anyone have questions?
I would like to know where the funding for this is coming. If you read in the memo, it says out of our municipal grant funds, we had extra from fiscal year 22 and fiscal year 23.
So this doesn't have to be in the budget. This is just going back to those specific funds. That's what I wanted specific right here. Okay.
And it wasn't specifically earmarked for anything else.
No, that's what we have left over after the other things that we've determined we wanted to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I understand this is a lot more money than I was hoping that it was going to be, but I think it's good to do this because otherwise we have no idea, like with the streetscape, we had no idea what that was going to cost. Mm-hmm. At least by doing this, we have, eventually it'll have to be done at some point anyway, and we can at least know what it's going to cost and have an idea, you know, what is the pond going to cost? What is the soil boring going to cost? And then we can start, it's going to have to be done in phases, just like the first phase was done. So then we know we can get it in the capital plan, you know, if we have to do it over, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever we decide, but at least we have an idea of what everything's going to cost.
Right.
I just wanted to hear.
Yes.
I wanted to hear it. I wanted everybody to hear that specifically.
And then the list of items is pretty exhaustive, but that includes kind of our whole.
Yeah, that's
list,
like the
right. We didn't leave any
wish list.
That's like the big Cadillac plan of what we want to think.
Right, we, you know, brainstorm. Obviously, this is preliminary. If we move forward, and then you know, once we decide to move forward with 1, 2, 3 chunks of that project, then you know, we don't have to add and change as we go along. If we need to see, we need to add another shelter. Another soccer field or what, yeah, we can adapt that. This would give us a cost structure of what trails would cost, pond, Central Park Shop, the Post Pavilion, and then we come back to council on that and try to budget, figure out what grants we're gonna go after and then prioritize, you know, do we wanna try to do a pond first or do we wanna try to do trails first, or, you know,
and what makes sense to start with. That's fine. It might be the first place to start. I don't know. We'll
just wanted to make sure there wasn't like a big thing on our wish list that we left out, because it sounds like we're trying to get information about everything now and then we can prioritize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. So what are your thoughts?
I'll make a motion.
Can I second motions?
Yeah.
I second that.
Second.
All right. And we need to have a roll call.
Ernest?
Yes.
Glinsman?
Yeah.
Moore?
Yes.
Steiners?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. All right.
Very exciting.
Yes. It's good to be able to get some information, be able to make intelligent choices. So
thank you, Ms. Miller.
Bye-bye. Next is a lease contract with Gordon Fleisch for the library copier. And I see we have Carrie Ann here. I don't know if there's anything else we need to know or if anybody has questions. Seems like some cost savings could happen. Anybody have questions?
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it definitely does.
I use that copier or the printer service a lot, and the printer you're using currently is kind of slow and just not made for this. So I think this will be not only cost savings, but improvement of service and more efficiency. So we're looking forward. Yeah.
It sounds like a motion.
Okay, I'll make the motion to approve the lease contract with Gordon Fleisch.
Thank you, Bethany. Isla's got the second on that. And is this a
no,
but just a voice vote. Okay. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Great. So what will happen with the old one? Will they take it on a trade or dunk it?
I'm not sure.
Hopefully they just take it.
Take it
because
away.
They don't want them to live it. You don't want them.
Yeah. They can recycle it or something. Yeah,
they take it and you don't have to worry about it.
No kidding. Okay, great. Next is number 7, pay application. And number 7 for the Country View subdivision. A portion of this work, am I in the right place?
9429 is our portion.
$9,429.37.
Okay.
It's right here.
Yeah, okay. Somehow I've got my pages in the wrong order. There you go. Yeah, our portion is $9,429.37. But that's the change order. So. Yeah. Okay, questions about this? We're paying what portion of the?
69%.
I'll make a motion that we accept this pay application for number 7 Country Club for the subdivision.
Okay. Thank you, Elaine. And second by Fran. And voice vote, right? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Next is discussion consideration of pay application number 6 for the Adams Street reconstruction project. So we $141,544.29. And there is also a change order for an additional $6,600 to cover.
That's separate. I'll make it that we accept the pay application of the fix for Adam Street reconstruction to cornerstone excavating. $141,544.29.
Thank you. And second from Bethany. And all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed, same sign. All right. Now is the change order for the Adams Street, $6,600. And this is due to them going to come back and seed in the fall so that we get grass growing.
We're playing now.
Yeah, well,
I'm hungry.
And then we just have to keep it watered. That's
more than 6,600.
So,
I'll make a motion that we accept this change order number 2 for Adams Street reconstruction, cornerstone excavating, $6,600.
Thank you, Elaine. Who would like to second that? Question, Isla?
What's a temporary seeding? Is that now?
Yeah, so we've already temporary seeded because we had to per the DOT requirement or DNR requirement. And then in the fall, during the regular seeding window, we'll come and do the final grading and seeding for the project.
So we're actually paying for grass that's not going to grow.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Except it's all weeds.
But your MPDS permit is required to not leave the ground cover for more than 14 days?
Yeah. Okay. If you leave it undisturbed for 14 days, you have temporary seed. Mm-hmm. The temporary seed is not ever made. It's not intended to grow. It's intended just to root, because the idea is they want you to hold the soil. What they're afraid of is the disturbed soil, when it rains, will run off. Yeah, and they don't want that to happen. So if you're outside the seeding window, which the seeding window does not start until the 15th of this month, and they're still recommending that we wait 2 to 3 weeks beyond that because of the heat, then according to the DNR, to keep within our requirements and not be fined, if it's over an acre, which it was along the entire project, we have the temporary seed with the DNR required.
Yeah.
Your Federal Clean Water Act.
And all that's growing is weeds.
But the seed, the side of the dirt's not moving.
Yeah, right. The dirt's not moving. But anyway. Okay, so it's all right. Good. I'm glad you asked that question. So we have a motion. Did we have a second?
Did you second it? No.
Okay, Bethany will second it. And all those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. Yep, we always have it. Next is third and final reading of an ordinance of mobile food vendors in the city limits.
Make a motion, we approve the third reading. Let's read it.
All right.
And this will not change since the other reading.
No. All right. So we have a motion and a second.
I did receive one email that I wanted to let council know that one mobile food vendor does feel that the fees are too high.
Okay.
Didn't have to buy a building.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
But those fees are not in the
I think they're pretty fair.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second, and this is an ordinance, so we need to have a voice vote.
Roll call vote,
sorry.
Yep.
Lindzen?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes. All right.
Let's talk.
Now down to old business. First is the employee handbook, which I understand is still to remain tabled. We're not ready to update that yet. And number two is the discussion, consideration, and possible first reading of our ordinance for vacant building code. So we need to untable this, so I need a motion.
Motion to untable this ordinance.
Second. Thank you, and thank you. Thank you, Elaine, for the second. And Sally, would you call the roll?
Moore?
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Lindzen?
Yep.
Youngquist?
Yes. Okay. Let's see, Terry, you wanted to address this issue, so.
Terry Phillips, and I'm involved in management of two other buildings in the historic district of Gallatin. And I participated in the committee that worked on this ordinance, and I'd like to say that I believe everyone on the committee did an excellent job trying to be as diligent as possible. I'd like to draw your attention to the third whereas. It says the city will desire to provide information. And I think that's key, because the city is taking the attitude that we want to help building owners as much as possible to get them to have their buildings being productive. This isn't a penalty to building owners, something to help them. And so that is providing information, and that is what we normally think about, but there's all sorts of things out there that can be helpful. Historic tax credits, for example, almost all the buildings that are contributing downtown Washington are eligible for historic tax credits. The city can work with them. The Preservation Commission and with Main Street Washington to provide information to building owners. And it goes on and on. There's a lot of stuff that can be done. And I hope the council will look at this later on and say, okay, how can we build on this ordinance that we created? Further promote what we have into Washington has the most beautiful downtowns in the state, I think. And we've done a fantastic job. We're very fortunate because we had a casino that's provided a great deal of funding. We've done well with that. Deanna had talked about possibly using some city funds to help do some of the stuff that we're going to do. And the ordinance wasn't the place for us to try to get all those details out. That's going to come later. But I want you to know that I believe this ordinance is probably well written, and I'm sure it can be tweaked a little bit. One of the most challenging parts was the second story vacancies, and we chose to go the way we did because we thought this is going to create everybody downtown in a similar fashion. And maybe it gets tweaked a little bit, I don't know. But I think if we approach it right and work with the public, we can make this work for all buildings downtown. I'm pleased to have been part of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry. Any comments? Does anybody have any questions about this, about the ordinance?
I'd just like to point out that I live also on the committee, right. And I thank you, Terry, for your time and input and for that summary. That was great. We did make one small change after that last meeting, which was to change what the district is. So instead of being the historic district, we have in this current ordinance is the Main Street district. And your main reasoning was so we can tap into some of that Main Street funding and leverage all that. So the districts almost overlap, but not entirely. So just wanted to make sure that was.
Wow. Good point. Yes, and anybody have comments, questions?
I guess I'd like to thank the committee for the hard work, because this isn't an easy topic to address, and I think it looks really good. So okay. I'll make a motion.
All right.
That we accept this ordinance.
Thank you, Elaine.
Second.
Thank you, Fran, for the second. Oh, you got it. Okay. All right. So this is for the first reading of this ordinance. Sally, would you call the roll?
Yeah.
Yes.
Stigers?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Linsman?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Yay.
Okay. Good. Thank you all. For your help with this. Okay, now we, number three, resolution approving voluntary severance. I believe that is still tabled.
That will be tabled. I'll give you an update during my time.
Okay. All right. Now we're into the workshop portion. Discussion of Third Avenue between Jefferson Street and Washington Street. And there was, a memo in here from Keith. Would you like to
give us a little
more information?
What we were looking at here. So this has kind of arisen from our safety committee. We did have an accident, minor accident with some small property damage between two city vehicles back in the back here. We take all accidents and injuries to the safety committee and we do a review to find out if we can improve and make sure that does not happen again. It's really the recommendation of the safety committee that we feel that portion has had a change of use and is now used more as a parking lot than a through street. We have several blind spots. We have people backing out from both sides. Mm-hmm. And we typically have people going through at a very high rate of speed. Mm. And we don't feel that this is a matter of if, but a matter of when we're going to have a serious accident. We voice our concerns to both Chief Lester and Chief DeLong, and they are both in 100% agreement that they feel that it is a change in circumstance, and they would both like your opinion and possible direction to move forward with maintaining it as a through street. Mm-hmm. And making it for official city business only for city.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are your thoughts?
I think it makes sense.
I do too. Would we just be placing signs up?
Yeah, how would that?
We haven't really talked about it. I guess this is just step one to find out if you guys were on board and it was something that we wanted to pursue. I think that would be, we would have to have several people involved with exactly how we were going to do it. But if it was just going to be an absolute no, we weren't going to put any more effort into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Other than putting up signs, how would you keep people from going through?
I mean, there's no physical way we couldn't keep somebody from driving through if they goes to.
Yeah.
But if it's vacated and the signs are up, mm-hmm. and somebody does come in and do some damage, that's not our liability at that point. It would be on them.
Mm-hmm.
I know Brendan had mentioned too that some of their overflow training does take part in that parking lot. And he said they have had people drive through the middle of their training too when they were outside doing things. Huh. It's just, Chief Lester can talk to this too. I mean, when people go through, if they see you backing out, they don't stop. They go faster and try to get around you to get in front of you. And there's just so many blind spots out there that I'm really afraid that we're looking at a serious accident in these days.
And I understand that it's also people walk through there, like especially middle school kids.
People do walk through there now. When the middle school moves, some of this might alleviate, not enough of it that I think it's not still mm-hmm. worth your guys' consideration.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So ideally, we would close it to pedestrians as well.
Well, pedestrians, we couldn't close it because, I mean, it just wouldn't be a through street where there's no way we can keep pedestrians from walking through mm-hmm. because we are a public building. But yeah.
At this point, we just need to discourage the vehicles going through.
Yeah, that makes sense. And staff would still be able to park over there.
Staff, and I mean, and any official city business would still be able to use it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So not only staff, but, you know, if we had somebody come down from the sheriff's department or something, we would expect that would be open for their use, mm-hmm. just not a through street to cut between Jefferson and Washington.
Uh-huh.
I think it's a good idea.
I think it,
so. What do we just?
Yeah. What do we do?
So we can either vacate it or close it. One of the two. It just depends on. No utilities in that corridor. Am I correct?
There is gas.
So if you vacate it, you would have to either give them an easement or, so I think the easiest way to do is just close it and then we don't have to worry about the easement situation. Yeah, they can stay there. Yeah, so we can, I think the best thing to do would be to close it, which I think we can do by resolution, I'll check our code. But that way, if you vacate it, then you have to have them move because by law, they have the right to be in any public street. Gas under our franchise, under federal law, any telecommunications can be in any right of way. So. And then we'd have to move them, pay to move them. So closing the street will have the same, they'll still have the access to it, but mm-hmm. it just will close it as a public street.
Okay. And maybe there could be some sign, you know, like not a through street, but pedestrians watch for traffic or backing or something.
I guess I would just like that what we're hoping comes out of this, and I think we're all in agreement is if you know, I would ask you to direct staff to put a plan together and mm-hmm. bring us back to maybe the next council meeting or the council meeting after that with mm-hmm. with a proposal and how we're actually going to do it. This was just the first step to find out if mm-hmm. you know everybody was on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah. So do we need to just kind of, we don't need to do a vote, just kind of, I think everybody is favorable to that idea. So I'd say.
So we can do the closure at the same time you guys have a plan together
mm-hmm.
because it's only one reading on the closure, not a vacation. We'll take three.
Okay.
True. Okay.
I agree with what you're trying to do, but how are you going to do it?
Well, we can put the signs
If you put clothes on it, how are you going to enforce it?
I mean, realistically, we probably can't enforce it.
And that's one thing I hate about doing ordinances that we can't enforce.
I'm hoping that most of the people that see the signs obey the signs.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite road.
Well, you don't drive like that, though. You drive.
So, do we have a camera out there that we can
see? You drive right around the building like a road?
Especially they run speeding through.
We have a camera on the building. Oh, wait, I'm pretty confident.
Right. High rate of speed with a license plate, but I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no way to calculate the
on yeah, okay. But at least we can.
I'd say go ahead and come up with a plan
right.
and see what we can do. But okay. There again, no matter what plan you come up, enforcement's going to be part of the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Let's move on and talk about the sidewalk inspection program. Once again, Keith, you And we've read the information, you can kind of fill us in your thoughts.
Well, Bethany had requested some pictures. I tried to take as good as I could. Some of the things on the sidewalk are really hard to see with a picture, but at least this will give you some idea of what we had identified as what we thought were trip hazards and maybe a couple potential talking points about the broken slab. So several years back, we started the trip hazard program, just to give you a little bit of a background, to try to be proactive with falls that were happening in town. We did the first quadrant right before COVID. COVID hit, and we kind of took a break from it. And we got that one closed. At that time, our broken slab, which is code C, stated three or more pieces was considered a broken slab. Previous council and previous city administrator directed that they felt we were missing too many potential pieces and that needed to be stricter. I was at three pieces. I really only had one place to follow, and that was two pieces. So for this go around, we did two pieces. If you turn to your code C, you can kind of see the intent of two pieces. I think was really the top picture. It's a broken piece on that sidewalk that is loose. It has some vertical or horizontal separation to it and could be a tripping hazard. Unfortunately, by our definition, the bottom piece is also considered a trip hazard by our definition. That sidewalk is also cracked in two pieces. There's just no vertical separation. We've had some people that have argued this. We tried to do our best to enforce what our rules were at the time. We're here tonight talking because we feel that this does need to be discussed. I think it's a good program that we need to move forward with, but I want a program that council feels they can stand behind. And I'm getting feedback from council members that they just don't feel like they can stand behind 100% of what we have on the books right now. So that's why we're here, to discuss this, to modify this, and get it to a point where Jeff and I can have a set of rules that we can go out and enforce and intelligently, discuss with people about why something is or isn't a trip hazard. Because obviously, when we identify this on somebody's walk, what we get is, well, my neighbor's is worse, and I don't really think this is a trip hazard. And so we need to, we need to have a defined set of guidelines that we can say, hey, this doesn't meet A, this doesn't meet B, but it does meet C. So unfortunately, it is a trip hazard.
Okay. I'd like to remind everybody why we do this. That code of Iowa requires cities to maintain their sidewalk. So in case somebody trips and falls on a sidewalk that hasn't been inspected or maintained, the city can be liable for that. Under the state code, the liability can be shifted to the property owners by ordinance, which we have done, which almost every city does. So what'll happen is, so if we have this program in effect and we also diligently follow this program, COVID would be an excuse, then if somebody trips on a sidewalk that we didn't know about, we have a defense against any liability for that sidewalk, because we have a program that we administer that goes through and looks for these hazards every how many different areas you have. So
there's four quadrants. Yep. So each quadrant will get inspected once every.
So this program is effective in limiting the city's liability. I know I've been doing this 24 years, and nothing causes more uproar from citizens than sidewalk repair programs. Doesn't matter what city you're in. So, but this does, number one, it protects the public from trip hazards, and number two, it also protects the city from liability. These sidewalks that, if we know about something, we should tape it off and make sure it gets. When we have complaints or see something in the meantime, we go ahead and have them repair it. Mm-hmm. We don't wait for the program to come around. But,
oh, okay.
Yeah. But complaints
are followed up with as they come in. This is kind of a proactive try to avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
So Keith has his list here that he talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to follow. I mean, that's the best thing to do. You have an objective list and you follow it. Now, if it said two or three, it's still on the list. So whichever way you guys want to do that, that's fine. We just need to follow the list. And people who, again, I agree. Everybody will say, well, my neighbors were as well. That means we'll
still take a look.
Your neighbor's next. So he's just following the objective list because you don't want, he doesn't want subjectivity and neither do we.
Right. I get it. So these are the
current guidelines that we have now in the program. A is called a separation.
Right.
That's a 3/4 inch vertical or horizontal separation in the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
Can we make a comment? Okay. So in today's world, with everything that happened, the latest and greatest, and I wasn't aware of this until actually my sister used it. She had a separation lower and she had a company come in and they raised it and it was cheaper than having the polyfill, and it was cheaper than having it completely replaced. Is this a possibility?
Yes.
Okay.
If the homeowner, now with our program, with our contractor, we just do replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And the city does cost share that. Our goal, although it's a guess, because Jeff and I have to set it the first of every year, our goal is that the city pays for 50% of the cost of full replacement.
Mm-hmm.
If the homeowner does not want to do full replacement and compliance can be achieved by mud jacking or by grinding, we will allow that. And Deanna and I sit down on a case-by-case basis and we figure out a reduced reimbursement for that because it doesn't cost the full amount.
Okay.
But yes, we have accepted both of the grinding and the
Okay. And forgive me, but I don't, is that specifically in here? In this,
does it say it in the letter?
No, it does not. That's something that we could add.
Yeah, and I think that would be great because I think that would clarify. Well, the whole slab is good. That gives us something to lean back on. Yeah, the slab is good, but here is your options.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. We could do that.
I agree. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
I have one question. Oh, are you done?
I'm done.
Oh, okay. I have one question about the separation. I don't know if this is going to vertical change. I've seen some sidewalks where the slabs are fine and they're level and they're complete, but then the soil right adjacent to it is either a big drop off. Does our program cover
not address that because this program addresses the walkability, which is just either the 4 or the 5 foot section of actual sidewalk. It doesn't address anything on either side.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. Mm-hmm. Would the city still be liable if someone like twisted an ankle or something?
The code only says sidewalk, so okay. I don't know if that would actually be a lie.
The only liability that we have found in that is if there's a reason, like a city utility is causing that dip on the side of the sidewalk, then we would be liable for that.
Okay.
But just natural sediment of ground, we would not be liable.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Does somebody around here do mud jacking, like one of the local persons?
There's nobody local to Washington, but there is people that come in.
Oh,
okay.
My neighbor had it done just recently.
They advertise on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's nobody that grinds either, but there is companies
that come in. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So to continue on, just explaining what codes were. Code B is a vertical change. This is kind of hard to see in the picture, but you can see the two slabs are sort of V down.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is in a 10-foot straight section, that sidewalk should not vary up or down more than 2 inches. So mm-hmm. if it's caved in 2 inches or if it's heaved 2 inches, that still is a potential trip hazard because of the elevation difference in that short area.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, again, where it'd be a good area where that, if they choose to do that,
That looks like an engineering problem right there.
That is actually, I took this picture. This isn't actually a sidewalk defect. This is there was some work done underneath the sidewalk and it's still. The contractor needs to come back and repair this, but this was pretty drastic. So it showed you what I was trying to convey with that being a vertical change. That's the reason I took this picture.
Mm-hmm.
How much did you say the change was?
2 inches in 10 feet, up or down.
Okay. Because I had my sidewalk done. Well, the guy that did it coved it, or at least the driveway. Paint. Red jacket won't help that. I mean, he had to tear it out, basically.
Yeah.
So.
Code C, I think, is where most of our conflict has come from this year. Obviously, you can see the top slab is definitely a trip hazard. I know I took it kind of straight up and down, but that's just under a 3/4 inch lip on that piece that's broken. I'll admit 100% the bottom picture to me really isn't a trip hazard right now. Mm-hmm. It could potentially be soon. It may never be. But this seems to be the problematic area that people were upset about. And I'm not going to say yes that somebody would trip over that. No, nobody's going to trip over that. But with our guidelines, this is a trip hazard, so we identify. Like I said, the previous council had directed us that we were supposed to have no trips ever again, and every single thing that could possibly be a trip hazard needed to be identified and repaired. I guess at this point, with the direction I'm getting from some council members, I don't know if that's really the idea that's behind it.
I don't see the bottom of being a trip hazard. It can eventually, but it's got to separate. I think you have some kind of separation, so you have some tilting. Right. But being a craft is not going anywhere.
That's why I put the two pictures in.
Yeah.
I really think
I agree with you. That bottom is going to cause you more problems than anything.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard complaints about. And then it's not just affecting that one, because we'll get to it, I'm sure, the code G isolation. But if you end up having like one good square of sidewalk with needing to be replaced on either side, then you also have to replace that. And so if we're including this bottom picture of code C, it can kind of have like a cascading effect of having to replace a bunch more as well.
Mm-hmm. This bottom one is old school. And I can tell you it's got re-rod glare down. So if we rip up, they're going to be cutting and they're going to be. And so I 100% go with the top picture.
Mm-hmm.
This bottom one, I have a problem with because it isn't a trip hazard yet. So, and how do you differentiate? There's no separation of up or down. There's no separation.
Right. My question to council would be, do we get rid of code C completely?
No.
I would just get rid of the no separation.
What about saying is cracked in two or more pieces and has loose pieces, has both instead of or?
A gentleman would like to speak.
Jeff, hello.
There's one way to kind of cover that, in my opinion, is if we put some verbiage in there saying if it's cracked in two pieces like that one with separation.
With separation, yes.
But then if it's in three or more, we would still also want it to be replaced.
Yes, separation. Correct.
And that would help you on your issue. Uh-huh. Fighting people about that not being a separation.
Yeah. I think there needs to be separate the word. I think there needs to be separation before
I can argue it as it is now. The problem is I don't think council's really behind the rules that we have.
As you can tell, we're not behind the
rules.
I'm a property owner. I got a crack in my driveway and my sidewalk, but they're like this. They're still together. There's just a crack in it.
And some of our
trip hazard
sidewalks.
It will be a trip hazard once the ground shifts.
Yes.
But it's not shifted yet, so I'm not going to worry about it.
And that's the problem. That could be tomorrow or that could be in 10 years
or 20.
But we need to add no separation on that.
Yeah. No.
That makes it clear. Then
Yeah.
It gives me something to look at.
I'm concerned that if, let's say it's broken into five pieces, but it's all still very together.
May be cracked or broken. My driveway, or not my driveway, my brand new garage floor cracked after it was poured. It's cracked, but it's not broken. Separated. And it's more than cracked in several places, but it's still a good pour.
Yeah.
So we can't, if you say it's got to be completely broken with separation, because you're going to walk on some brand new sidewalks and they may crack depending on the weather a week after they're done. Or
can we under another code flag the slabs that are like broken into a bunch of pieces, even if there's not some sort of separate thing?
It's broken and cracked.
You can keep broken slab and label it with any number of pieces you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I'm
just worried
about anything more than two.
I would leave it at two. If it's broken into two pieces,
two or more
with the
over
two pieces with separation.
Yeah, that's what I would do. Two or more pieces with separation.
Separation
that would cover us.
Yeah,
right.
And separation means that it's just like this, or does it mean loose?
You can stick the pencil on it. It's a separation.
Loose. I mean, the top one here, it looks like that corner is loose.
I would say I'd like to see verbiage in there that says loose as well, because you're absolutely right. If I step on that corner, I can wiggle it, but it's not over 3/4 inch and it's only two pieces. So that, I mean, if we went with that, that top piece would not qualify as a trip hazard yet.
The bottom one, you can jump on that all you want and it does not move.
It's as solid as a rock. I'll admit that 100%.
So
how can we word it to catch the top piece?
The broken slabs and two or more pieces with separation and looseness.
Or one loose piece.
Or one loose piece.
Yeah.
I agree.
No separation, but
loose.
No, it's got to have separation.
With separation.
Well, if it's broke, it has to have the separation.
It's got
a
separation.
Or if it's broke, has no separation, and the piece is loose, then either one of those would qualify as a trip.
Yeah.
Right. Because if it moves, that's going to cause a separation.
One loose piece. Okay.
It can't be kind of
Yep.
Okay. Does that make sense?
That does.
So what do we
want to come back with some different wording for that one?
Or do you?
Yes.
And okay.
Yep. I got that one. Listen, have something for you guys for the next call.
Pawning water C.
Yeah. Code D is pawning water. Obviously, it's been really hot and had been in the water, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But you can see that
the
sidewalk where the dirt is.
Yeah.
That's where the water is ponding. Mm. And it's drying out. So that's what Jeff and I have to kind of look for when we're looking, you know, at with weather that's typical as now as we look for these dirt spots that have this. Now, is this a super bad tripping hazard in the summertime? No, not really. What our concerns are here is when we have the freeze thaw, water is going to sit there in fall and winter and spring, and it's going to freeze, and then we're going to have terrible fall hazards.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's get down. Yeah.
And then which is the degradation. That's where 50% or more of the surface of the panel of sidewalk is pitted or rough surface, or it has chunks out of it that are more than 3/4 inch. And that's usually just very old concrete that the surface is starting to wear down on.
So how many inches you put
in? If there's one spot that's 3/4 inch, then the whole piece fails. If it's just a rough surface where it's not smooth, then 50% of the square of sidewalk has to be affected before it would be considered a trip hazard. So if it's just one corner, we don't do it. But if it's halfway over the square, then we do.
Just shooting the devil's advocate. Our square isn't
smooth. Correct, but it's not breaking down and degrading. If the brick were cracking and powdering, then it would be a trip hazard. The what
what the idea here is that if this is degrading and somebody steps on it with a heel or something, a piece breaks
and it goes through.
You can twist the handle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at this point the sidewalk really is failing, and that's why we're identifying it as the trip hazard.
Do you run into many like that?
Deterioration is not much. Maybe 2 or 3% of everything we identify.
Okay.
It's not very much at all. Encroachment.
Whoa.
That is basically just anything that is encroaching on either the 4-foot or the 5-foot walk. If you have an existing 4-foot walk, or the 4-foot of walkway has to be clear. If you have a 5-foot walk, the 5-foot walkway has to be clear. This code does not generate any cost to the homeowner, but it does identify to them that they need to get out there and like clean this. I mean, you can look at that sidewalk and, you know, I could walk on it fine, but there's people that would have a lot of trouble navigating that. And a lot of times when we find out after we clear a sidewalk like this, then there is several that are trip hazard programs because they're shifted and they're broken and they're loose and things like that. But we got to get them cleaned up first and then reevaluate. We have one more code, and I didn't take a picture of it. It is the isolation code. That is one that we added this go around because we had some trouble with it in the past. If we have a square of concrete that needs to come out, and then one square that's good, and then another one adjacent to it that needs to come out, so you're taking it out on both sides, we find that more often than not, that one will float on us. And we found that people were actually upset that then we were not taking that square. So we went ahead and added that. If you have two or more squares of concrete adjacent that are not disturbed, they say they're okay. But if you pull out everything but one square, that square just goes all over the place. And even when you pour up to it, it's not poured in conjunction with the other pieces. So it tends to float differently than the rest of the side.
Okay.
So I know that was a lot of information. I would be glad to try to clarify or take any questions.
Yeah. Questions?
I think the clarifying code fee that we did, and if we call out the options for mud jacking, will make the isolation thing a lot more possible for the owner's stomach as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my picture.
Yeah, that's
1,000 words.
That's right. Exactly. That's what I thought. Okay.
Do you have a sense of how many homes in zone 4-2, zone 2, whatever?
I think we sent out like 375 letters.
And was that about the same as what you found in zone 1 when you did?
Zone 1, we had a little more, but there was more sidewalk.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So zone 1, is that northwest?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And zone 2 is northeast.
Uh-huh.
And is southeast next?
And southwest.
And then southwest.
Southeast of next year?
This year.
Oh, this year.
And the cut is Iowa, is it not?
What that?
The street is Iowa, everything is southwest of Iowa.
Or is it
3rd Street?
Second Main were dividing streets.
Second Main, okay.
Yeah. So the quadrant that we did, we actually started last fall. So we're finishing up. They had until today. The homeowners did to repair it themselves if they wanted to. I'm currently putting a list together of everybody that's left. I'm hoping to have that done this week. We'll bid that out to a contractor for a September, October construction. That should finish off zone 2. And then as soon as we get all these guidelines set and we get a program that everybody can get behind, Jeff and I'll start on zone 3.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. So you'll write up the
changes and resubmit the program.
Okay. All right. Fran.
We did have an issue with one of the sidewalks next door to my house. Plumber came in and put in a pipe in the center, and it's about that far up off the ground. I had JJ take care of that for me. Because even if you come through there with a blade on something, you kill yourself.
Yeah,
but we took care of that. But on that note, I have my shutoff valve for my water in the middle of my angled driveway.
Oh,
yeah.
Is that against code?
Okay. Wow. We prefer not to have them in sidewalks.
Well, I didn't put it there, obviously.
But more times than not, that's where they seem to end up. Mm. And just for council's knowledge, if a homeowner has a crosswalk that needs the truncated domes, the city supplies the truncated domes. We didn't feel it was fair for that to be a homeowner expense. Also, if there's a trip hazard caused by the water shut off or a city utility that's in the sidewalk, we pay 100% of that square as well.
Oh, okay.
Just because, again, I don't think it's fair to put it on a homeowner that mm-hmm. we have a manhole in their sidewalk and it's causing a trip hazard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we do cost share, which we try to make it about 50%. So we've really done, you know, as much as we can to alleviate the public impact on you know, families that
mm-hmm.
may not otherwise be able to afford to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if they really can't afford it, you know, we'll do it. We'll pay the contractor. We'll bill them. If they don't pay it, we'll put it on their taxes and they can make payments over 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we've really, you know, kind of
been pretty easy.
We've exhausted efforts in trying to make it as easy as we can mm-hmm. without, you know, saying, hey, this is, you know, we realize it's an impact, but it's mm-hmm. it's something that's got to be done. If somebody trips and falls,
right,
then you know, everybody gets hit at that point.
Right.
Thank you for all your hard work.
Yes, thank you. And for this information and the discussion, it's been great. So we look forward to some updated information from you.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. So that takes care of our agenda. Let's do once around. Chief, you want to start?
Okay. As you're staying busy, I was out most of last week and yesterday. Officer Frazee was sworn in last Monday. He'll start the academy on August 28th. And Officer Schneider is finishing up his final couple weeks of the academy, and he will graduate on Friday, August 18th.
All right.
On Wood, coming first of the year, we'll be
riding.
Got everybody out of training and
good
on the street.
That's good news. Thank you. Kevin?
I just want to give you an update on the last week after our meeting. I went out to the Buchanan Street lots that we owned and met with Jeff Murphy. Jeff Murphy was not the person who was at the last council meeting. That was one of his brothers. So I met with him and we went over some things about the drainage on our lots. And I think we agreed and we made good progress. So after that, I met Leland and Deanna out at the property last week. And Leland's coming up with a plan to funnel the water into their current system with the tile they have in their fields. They had like four or five digging bottoms in their fields on the road that we own, that when we took the road out, they went out. So there's one area where the water will pond and will go down their field quickly. So Leland's doing a very simple detention type basin. I mean, it's nothing big.
Yeah.
So that then we can direct the water into their system like it was before. So that should take care of the drainage. Both Jeff and I talked about that. And then, so I'm hoping by the next meeting that we'll have an agreement that takes care of all these issues, including that. It may take a little bit to put the system in because we may have to get into their field a little bit and obviously got to wait for the corn to get out of the field. But
mm-hmm.
I think we made good progress with Mr. Murphy, and Leland had the topography done and he was going to get us a plan here next week. Okay. So either end of the week or early next week. So it looks like hopefully, once you get that agreement, we'll go ahead and do the severance on top of that and end this matter once and for all, hopefully.
All right. Good report. Thank you. Yeah.
I just have one thing to add that I just found out because I asked about where we were with the project. So we are currently out to bid for four of the houses for our pilot housing program. And they are due August 15th. So that's good. We're moving forward with that program.
And that was one through East God?
Yes.
Okay. Good. All right. Rand?
Nothing.
Okay. And I don't really have anything either, although this Saturday is the Latino Festival. So be around, come downtown. Oh, and you've got a poster. I want to see that. And can't really think of anything. I've been attending meetings and had a few citizen complaints, but nothing really all that huge. So that's all I've got. Good night.
I really don't have anything.
Okay. Hi.
No, I guess
I'm kind of quiet.
Okay. Yeah, I can't remember anything that is outstanding.
I did think, did we want to ask the council about an additional meeting in August to work on the CIP?
Oh, yes. August 29th, we had talked about. There's five Tuesdays
in that month.
August 29th, Tuesday.
That's a Tuesday.
There is.
And we thought it might be...
The junior high night.
Football season. Sorry.
Oh, I know.
But not that early.
Oh, yes.
Really? On the 29th?
August 18th is my first game. Well, actually, August 8th, because I go to football camp.
Oh.
Okay. I have 16 games in 4 days.
I will be still gone.
Oh, you will be gone.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe we could move that into September, maybe.
It doesn't matter to me.
Like the second,
like the 12th.
The 12th. Yeah, the second Tuesday. We thought if we could, you know. And would we have anything back about the wellness park? Would that be too soon?
I doubt it.
Could we, if we, you know, could spend some time with the capital improvement plan and work on that? Would that work for everyone, the 12th?
Works for me.
CIP.
The CIP? Yeah. Okay. So let's put that down. 6 o'clock.
Thank you for putting that off until I could be back.
Can you send an email out with that, Anna?
I'm sorry?
Can you send an email out with the date by the not here?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Thanks. That's right. That's good. Okay. So, Bethany, we're down to you. What do you got?
I was just going to share about the festival on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I already did. So, I think I...
Well, I don't know everything.
Downtown at the square, starting at, I think, 11 o'clock until around 9 p.m. So there'll be lots of good stuff going on.
All right.
That's all I had. So motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. And opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
The end of the first.
Because
we're at 5-0 at the end of the first.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah.
Hey, what game are you listening to?
The Twins did nothing at the deadline, and they're playing St. Louis, set, so their starting pitchers for all three games are TBD because they traded them. Except at the bottom of first, they're 0-0. Because they traded Flaherty at like 4:30, they traded into the order list.
Wow.
We have the guy from the Angels. He had pitched in Colorado on Monday.
Yes.